Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's a Brian Lehrer show. Filling in for Brian today, I'm Juan Manuel Benitez. As neighborhoods change and gentrify, rents go up, expensive organic grocery stores move in. It's a story we've heard over and over throughout Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. WNYC is documenting the affordability crisis all over the city, starting with Mud Haven in the South Bronx. Here's one Mud Haven resident summing up how she and many of her neighbors feel about all of this.
Spotlights get put on communities when new people move in and they want to keep it affordable for them. Those that were here before, it's not affordable for them anymore.
Here with me now to discuss the change that's coming to Mud Haven in the South Bronx are WNYC reporter Jessica Gould and Sophia Polisa Carr, an associate producer here at WNYC. Hi, Jessica. Hi, Sophia. Welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Hello.
So, Jessica, as I said in my intro, you're looking at changing neighborhoods as part of a bigger affordability project. Can you tell us about the project and why did you start this out in Mud Haven in the South Bronx?
Sure. So what we're trying to do is look at affordability issues from a range of perspectives. Housing, of course, but also health and education. Food access. And we wanted to do it one neighborhood at a time. So we're starting in Mott Haven because it has a legacy of being one of the highest poverty rates in the city. It was seen as a dumping ground for a lot of the unwanted things in the city for years, with homeless shelters, waste transfer stations, a lot of truck traffic. So it has really high crime and asthma rates. And yet, it's gentrifying. There's new development coming. Rents are spiking. Home prices have increased over 100% since 2010, and people are being displaced. So there's a new tension in the area.
Well, Mud Haven residents or people with roots nearby, if you can feel the change coming, that change, that means, for the most part, gentrification. How do you think it can be done right? Give us a call and talk to us about gentrification in the South Bronx, 212-433-WNYC, that is 212-433-9692. Or if you live in a neighborhood that already went through what some say Mud Haven is about to, like Dumbo, Williamsburg, or Greenpoint, what do you see as the biggest mistakes made in your neighborhood? And how can Mud Haven avoid those same mistakes? You can call us at 212-433-9692. Mud Haven doesn't have any flashy new tall apartment buildings yet or fancy cocktail bars, right? So how do you know Mud Haven is gentrifying?
Yeah.
Sophia, how can you tell?
Well, so there are some elements sort of classic gentrification. There is an upscale coffee shop near the waterfront. But I've been kind of talking to different residents around the neighborhood just about the pressures they've been feeling in their life. Rent is going up. They're concerned about whether their businesses will have their leases renewed. But there's also a lot of pride in the neighborhood. There are people who have been there for a long time. They know the history of the South Bronx. They've gone through a lot to continue living there. So it is kind of an interesting question of how is it gentrifying and in what ways can we see that happening there?
So what are the signs pre-changing, pre-gentrification? Because I'm assuming that once you see the fancy coffee shop, it's over. No, isn't that the case?
Right. Well, I think the stage was set when the area along the waterfront was rezoned, I believe in 2005. And that's where six market rate towers are going to go. And then there'll be other development around there. And of course, as part of that, the developer Keith Rubenstein is building some amenities like a new food hall and a pizza place that he's supporting. There's a new boutique there and the coffee shop, as we mentioned. But there's also just the push-pull of affordability issues throughout the city. So we've talked to a lot of people who have been priced out of Manhattan and Brooklyn in particular, young people, recent college grads, and artists who are moving in. And that's one of the telltale signs as well.
And Sophia, I know that you've been setting up a shop at the library in Mud Haven. How is that going? Are you talking to residents? What are they talking to you about?
Yeah, so we're doing this kind of new thing where I'm on the ground mostly, almost every day in one way or another, and I'm based out of the Mott Haven Public Library, and that's just a way for me to kind of be a listening post for the community, a way for me to talk with residents there about what's going on and to observe a little bit. And it's going really well. I mean, I'm just sort of based out of there, but we are kind of also hosting office hours there and hoping people will come in and talk to us about what they see changing.
So let's go with Coleman in Mott Haven. Coleman, thank you for calling. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you. My question was just from a practicality standpoint. I live about half a block from St. Mary's Park here in Mott Haven, and it's like I would love to see the area grow, but I don't see it from a practicality standpoint. I mean, there literally are so many public housing and projects in the area, and then a lot of shelters as well. And I'm not seeing, like, just the general residential buildings that a lot of people from the city or other boroughs would move to in order to grow the area.
So, Coleman, so, basically what you're saying is that you don't see gentrification really coming to Mott Haven.
I see it up near the very industrial section near the Bruckner Boulevard, but I'm actually surprised that it's not happening over here by the park, which is actually a super nice park, and a lot of people don't know it's same architect as Central Park, St. Mary's Park over here. So, you know, I think it would be better for it to happen over here by the park, but I'm not seeing it.
Right.
Well, I think that's interesting. I mean, Sophia and I have walked around the park and the streets around there, and it's true that this area of the Bronx has the highest concentration of public housing in the Bronx, which can be a factor in how much an area gentrifies or not. But then again, as we've seen in places like Dumbo, you know, that doesn't stop gentrification from happening. It just happens all around it. But it's true that what we're seeing most right now is spillover from the plans for developments along the waterfront and then, you know, pressures on rents and home prices in the immediate area. And it hasn't reached that far yet. That's still an area, as we understand it, where there are persistent challenges.
Justine, in Astoria, I understand that you're in Queens, but you do know the area of Mott Haven. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thank you for taking my call. I teach at Hostos Community College, which is right in the neighborhood there. We're right, very close to it. And we joke that what happened was this summer, across the street from the college, a Dunkin' Donuts opened up, and some of us joke that we're the only neighborhood in the world that gentrified by getting a Dunkin' Donuts. But
Is that a joke saying you don't believe that the gentrification is coming, or that it's a different kind of gentrification?
Like, you know, it's like, you know, people usually associate gentrification with Starbucks rather than Dunkin' Donuts,
right?
And so you know, we step up to get a Dunkin' Donuts, but
and do you think and the people in the area, are they worried about this or
very much? I talk to my students, you know, because many of my students live in the area and in other areas of the Bronx. That are low income or, you know, working class, they're very worried about it, you know, because there's a sense that there's no place left to live in New York City after that. You know, if you gentrify the Bronx, you know, Mott Haven or any other part of the Bronx, that's it. You know, then you have to either, you know, commute 2 hours from Austining or wherever or leave the area altogether. But, you know, Astoria, where I live, is very much gentrified. In the time I've been living in it, which has been over a decade. And one thing I see is that, you know, it never had the kind of dire poverty that Mott Haven had. You know, it's more of a working middle class area, Greek and Italian. But I think what happens is that there are these sudden changes from, you know, businesses and institutions that cater to, you know, the people who were there.
Right.
And then you know, at the other end of the spectrum, you know, they start building things that are on the other end of the spectrum. You know, the boutiques, the you know, the fancy coffee shops and whatever.
Same.
And you know, there's this sudden jarring change with nothing in between. You know,
and
I think that what I see in Astoria that that I don't want to see happen to Mohaven.
So Mohaven, to Sophia and Jessica, do you think that in the neighborhood there's the kind of social fabric or politically involved organizations that can really dictate how change finally comes to the neighborhood?
Definitely. I think there's actually really organized groups of activists in the community, longtime residents especially, some of them who have been organized since the 70s or the 80s. And one of the biggest issues that they're concerned about is access to the waterfront, which is where we're seeing most of the development. And that's an area that is actually pretty cut off from the rest of Mott Haven, sort of the St. Mary's Park area that, you know, one of the mm-hmm. callers was talking about, by the highway, by the major Deakin that's there. And the community would like to see it as a place for them to go and access to the waterfront and have access to gardens there. And right now it's in question whether that will actually happen.
We have time for one more short call. We have Jim in the South Bronx. Jim, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, real quick. Yeah, you know, I live just adjacent to this area, around the Longwood area off Southern Boulevard. This area was redeveloped over 20 years ago in the 90s through a combination of national and local money. There's an interesting politics and history to it that one day you might want to talk about on your show. But I bought a condo property here in this area, in a building that was once boarded up and burned out for about 20 years through a city program, and I got it for 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms for $59,000 in 1994. And it was part of an initiative of redevelopment. And I think you might have a discussion about how redevelopment can be the alternative to gentrification.
I'm sure, Jim, we'll have that discussion in the short future. Thank you so much for your call. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you to my guests, WNYC Jessica Gold and Sophia Polisa Carr. Thank you for being here on the show. And that's all for today. Brian will be back tomorrow. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez. Have a great afternoon.